it's important to make the right decisions, like when to go for it on fourth down, or when to kick the field goal, or go for the touchdown. It's also important to make the right insurance decisions, too. That's why my office, Trey McAdams State Farm, is here to help you select the right protection at the right price. Our office will make sure you understand your State Farm coverages, so you'll know what to expect when the unexpected happens. With Trey McAdams State Farm, it's easy to make the right call. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Proud sponsor of the Tennessee Vols.
Had a great game plan to, you know, come in and fire first, and, you know, they hit us in the mouth first, and, you know, we were just trying to recover that whole game.
Certainly not the outcome Tennessee wanted, but they hardly gave themselves a chance in the game against Ohio State in their first ever playoff appearance, Paige Dower, alongside Jimmy Himes. The first thing to know from this game in Columbus is that they could not stop anything that Ohio State was throwing at them on defense, specifically when it came to those explosive plays. Early in the game, they were already, you know, plus 100 yards through the air. They were knocking on the door of 100 yards in the first half, you know, on the ground as well. You look at the first opening drive of the game, you think that Tennessee's defense has them pinned back deep. A penalty, first down. Two plays later, it's a touchdown. Couple plays later on the second drive, explosive plays, you know, 21, 37, 40 yards through the air. Just nowhere on the field could Tennessee come up with any meaningful stop.
Well, the thing that really caught my attention was how Ohio State just picked apart Tennessee's secondary, and they also exploited Tennessee's linebackers. They completed a lot of drag routes, which Tennessee still didn't cover. They also threw a lot to the backs out of the backfield and little flare passes into the flats. They hit the tight end on a couple of them, and then they took some shots downfield, and Jeremiah Smith, the outstanding freshman, just tore Tennessee up. He had a 100-yard game. He had a couple of touchdowns, and Tennessee, I was really impressed with Will Howard. He completed over 80% of his passes. Yeah. He threw for over 300 yards, the second game this year in which he has achieved that. But as I'm watching them, I'm thinking, how in the world did this team lose to Michigan? Because they played a really outstanding game. But the Tennessee defense, which usually travels, it did not. And it kind of reminded me of what Georgia did to Tennessee. Georgia went up and down the field. Tennessee in this game gave up about 473 yards, which was the most they had given up all season.
Yeah.
And I just really was surprised that Tennessee could not get stops. Ohio State scored on the first touchdowns on the first three possessions of the game and the first three possessions of the second half. And that was it.
Yeah.
It just stings kind of losing like that. You know, just obviously we're all disappointed with the result. I feel like we had, you know, a good game plan and just weren't able to execute it. So just obviously really disappointed with the result of the game.
That's all you needed to do. And, you know, you mentioned the flare routes. They couldn't stop anything on a slant route. They couldn't stop anything on, you know, a deep post route. They couldn't stop anything man-man, zone coverage. And then you ask them, you know, what was going on? They're like, well, we just simply couldn't execute. We understand that part. We all watched the game. We saw that. And it's just, you have, you know, so many weeks to prepare for this game. And, you know, they kind of say that they didn't look any different than what they were watching on film. But you have to wonder why there were such lack of adjustments in this game for Tennessee, whether in game, out of halftime, just at any point, it kind of like they were playing at will. And then when you have the backup quarterback in, that's all you need to know.
Yeah, and I was surprised that Tennessee didn't adjust a lot of those routes. And Ohio State came out and did the same thing in the second half to them. They didn't have to throw as much in the second half as they did in the first half, but they just had Tennessee's defense on its heel the whole game. And I just didn't quite understand why Tennessee wasn't able to perform better. But I give Ohio State some credit. Now, that's a really good football team. It's a very talented team. I think when Ohio State's playing its best, that's as good a football team as there is in the country. And I think certainly they played their best. Tennessee did not. Josh Heupel talked about how they didn't. They needed to play better, but they also needed to coach better.
Yeah.
I think he's right about that. I thought Tennessee didn't do as good a job coaching. It's in particular on defense. Offensively hampered by a lot of injuries, including the one to Dylan Sampson, which Joey Halsley, the offensive coordinator, said it certainly hurts you when you don't have the offensive player of the year in the SEC. Sampson had two carries for 6 yards. He had a catch for 2 yards. That was it. Now, he hurt his hamstring against Vanderbilt.
Yep.
He was kind of out for about the next 2 weeks. The week before the game, Tennessee thought he was in good shape. He tweaked it early, and he was really a non-factor against Ohio State.
At Wallace Real Estate, trust is more than just a word. It's been our foundation since 1936. Whether you seek backyard adventures or a quiet spot for your morning coffee, we understand what makes a house a home. Our agents are here to simplify your home journey and to lead you through the process, whether buying or selling. With Wallace Real Estate, you're getting more than guidance. You're gaining a local partner dedicated to bringing your dreams to life. Start your real estate journey at wallacetn.com.
Yeah, they mentioned it was kind of like a soft tissue thing that happened after Vanderbilt. You have a couple of weeks where he's incredibly limited during practice. They knew he wasn't going to maybe be full speed here, but those first couple of plays into the game, he retweaks it, and then he's really a non-factor just watching from the sidelines. I'm sure we all saw the amount of times the broadcast went to him just standing by the coaches on the sideline, and you have to rely on Deshaun Bishop and Peyton Lewis to step up. Peyton Lewis had a couple of really strong runs in this game, kind of gives you a little bit of hope heading into next year, because that's all you can think about at this point is what will be happening next year. But then you also look, and this is our second point, you know, the offense for Tennessee was not able to get much going. I mean, Nico was leading your team in rushing yards and in carries for much of this game.
I'm at 20 carries. No, I did not expect to run that many times. Some shots that were there, and just, you know, overall as a team, we just didn't execute the whole game plan, so got to be better.
Yeah, he was, and he ended up with 20 carries. Now, there were four sacks, but he ran 16 times. Some of those were design runs. Some of those were scrambles, but he was doing a lot of scrambling. I don't think the receivers did a very good job of getting open. I think that's one reason you saw Nico holding the ball and then taking off and trying to scramble and pick up some yardage. And then the receivers were banged up. Squirrel White went out. He's had a shoulder problem all year. Dante Thornton goes out. Tennessee, oftentimes, when they lined up in a four wideout set, they had tight ends lined up as wide receivers. And so the depth hurt them there because they had lost four receivers in the transfer portal. So that impacted the offense. But they never really seemed to get in much of a rhythm. They did cut the lead to 21-10 at halftime. They had a nice drive before the end of the half to score. But then Ohio State comes out in the third quarter and bam, 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 three touchdowns. And that's game, set, match.
Yes.
And so Tennessee just struggle offensively. They ended up with around 250 yards, but there was a point in the game where Ohio State had outgained Tennessee by about 300 yards.
Yeah, you look at that first half, they have just over 200 yards for OSU in total yards. Tennessee had like 16 total yards in the first half. And a little bit more on kind of what we were seeing on offense. When you talk to Joey Hosley after the game, the offensive coordinator, you know, you're like, okay, well, what wasn't clicking? Because Dante Thornton was in the game early. Chris Brazel was kind of in the game. Brew McCoy, Squirrel White. And he's like, well, you know, it's not just Nico. Sometimes it looks like, you know, you're really strong at the line of scrimmage, but then you don't have anyone open downfield, vice versa, just everyone kind of taking their turn being off. And he made it sound like they just could not get in sync tonight because of what OSU was showing them.
No, they didn't. And look, Ohio State's got an outstanding defense. So there's a reason they were ranked the number one defense in the country going in, and points allowed and total yards allowed. And they showed that, and they put a lot of pressure on Nico. And even at times, when they didn't get a sack, he was running for his life. Yeah. But I also think a number of those times it was just the wideouts were not getting open and he didn't have anybody to throw to. Now, I will say this. There were a couple of times I thought he had somebody open and he didn't see him.
Right.
Okay, so just a combination of a lot of things. But certainly a disappointing performance from the offense and the defense. And as Josh Heupel said, he was disappointed in the overall play. Basically, he was saying, we're a better team than that. We just did not have a good night against Ohio State.
I've got the perfect gift for football fans with young kids. Future Fans is a new brand that helps little kids become big sports fans through storybook-led activities that help them understand the sport by introducing core concepts that make sense. Designed for kids ages 4 to 8, FutureFans.com is only $49.99. Go to FutureFans.com and unlock a lifetime of memories starting now. Litton's in Fountain City, proud supporters of Tennessee Athletics. When you're hungry, remember Litton's for the best burgers and the best desserts in town. Andrew's Physical Therapy at Blaine and Strawberry Plains. That's where I've gone to rehab my knee, my shoulder, my elbow. When rubbing a little dirt on it ain't enough.
Well, you even heard Will Brooks say that. They're like, the most disappointing part of this is that we're leaving with a loss, but it's a loss where we didn't play our best version of ourselves. And it's really tough to end the season on a note where you're like, you left so much out on the field. We could have been so much better. We are so much better. And just for some reason, they could just not turn the page in this game at all.
No. And I'll say this, as bad as Ohio State was against Michigan, they were that good against Tennessee. Yeah. And there was a lot of concern or wonderment about what's the mindset of Ohio State. How are they going to bounce back from losing to Michigan? They've had a losing record the last 10 times they played Michigan, lost in the next game. They were 3-6 over that period. But they seemed to really play hard for Ryan Day. A lot of people thought his job was on the line if he lost this game. The athletic director at Ohio State said that wasn't the case.
Right.
But they played a very solid game, and I was impressed with their game plan. I really thought that they out-schemed and out-coached Tennessee, in particular with what they did offensively against the Vols.
Yeah, and speaking of Nico and not maybe being able to find his rhythm in this game, he also kind of talks about, you know, the crowd noise and that impacting how up-tempo you can play. But also on the flip side, the tens of thousands of Vol fans that were here that made the drive from Knoxville or other parts of Tennessee to come here in Columbus to help cheer on the Vols, they are most disappointed in letting the fans down, it sort of seems like, after the game. You're like, we're just most disappointed in not being able to deliver to the Vol fans.
The amount of people that traveled, but it's every week. It's 365 days out of the year, so I'm disappointed for them, absolutely.
Good to see, you know, all the orange in the stands. You know, it sucks the performance we gave out for them. But, you know, I hope they all get home safe, man. I really appreciate their support.
Yeah, that was mentioned by the head coach, Josh Heupel. It was mentioned by some of the players. Estimates were that Tennessee had about 30,000 fans here. I would venture to say that that might be a record in Ohio Stadium for the most opposing fans in this stadium. And this stadium's 102 years old.
It also seats
about 102,000. Yeah. So, yeah, and there was a tremendous turnout by the fans. And, yes, you heard a lot of disappointment. Omari Thomas talking about how, hey, we play this. The fans are with us through the good, the bad, the ugly. They are with us, and we appreciate them. You heard a lot of that from the Tennessee coaches and players and how they were disappointed in themselves for the way they played, but disappointed for all those fans that made the trip up here to support the Vols.
Yeah, and then the other thing too is, you know, where this team can take the next step. Josh Heupel mentioned in 2022 they finished sixth in the country. He talked earlier in the week that there was no whiplash with this program kind of ascending as quickly as they did in just four short years under Coach Josh Heupel. There was a video circulating on social media that 5 years ago they're struggling to defeat or play against Georgia State,
which beat them.
Yes. Yeah. And then, you know, here we are in the first ever playoff appearance for Tennessee in the inaugural 12-team format. And, you know, it's Cooper Mays who's walking off the field, and you can just see so many thoughts and memories just flashing through his mind. And he talked about how emotional it is to walk off the field for the last time in his career. But then he also mentioned how much this team has meant to him and that he really can't even put it into words, because it's guys like him and Omari Thomas that has helped this program be here today in the stadium at Ohio Stadium.
Big Orange Pickleball is a state-of-the-art multi-million-dollar facility designed to serve the growing demand for pickleball in this area. Located at 7729 Strawberry Plains Pike, it's one of the premier indoor pickleball venues in the nation. It has six Sport Master Cushion courts, a climate-controlled environment, and customized LED lighting. To find out more, go to BigOrangePickleball.com or call 865-465-7920.
A.G. Hines Company. They've been around for over 100 years, selling building materials since anyone can remember.
Yeah, and there was a mass exodus of Tennessee players when Jeremy Pruitt was fired, the NCAA violations, the cloud hung over the head of these, and a bunch of them left. Cooper Mays was one of several players that convinced a lot of them to stay. And I also remember this about Omari Thomas. He told me that when he had committed to Tennessee, some of his Memphis buddies and some of his high school teammates said, why are you going there? Their program's not any good. He said, you just watch. We're going to help put Tennessee back on the map. Omari Thomas did it. Cooper Mays did it. A number of other players that stayed around did it. They're fifth-year seniors. Somebody called them dinosaurs in this current age.
I mean, I guess they kind of are.
people exiting at the first turn that they can and hit the transfer portal. But they've done a wonderful job of putting this program back on the map, making Tennessee football relevant again. Now, obviously, tonight against Ohio State, didn't play well, didn't go as they'd wanted to, but at least you were one of the 12 in the 12-team playoff, the first ever. And now, a lot of questions are about, where do you go from here?
Yeah.
How do you fill the pieces? What do you need? A lot of that's going to be answered in the future. A lot of it could be answered in the transfer portal. And a lot of that is like, it's a little bit early to be asking that. They're trying to figure out about, you know, getting over this Ohio State.
We're trying to reconcile this loss. Yeah,
exactly. So, but I do think the program's on solid footing. Is there room for improvement? Yes. And look, I'll say this too. There was a talent gap between Ohio State and Tennessee. Ohio State's a better football team.
Yeah.
They've got better talent. They have better receivers. And they're probably deeper in some areas that Tennessee is. So I give Ohio State a lot of credit. I think that's a team that can go a long way. But also give Tennessee credit for making it this far. A lot of people before the year didn't have Tennessee making the playoff. I had them on the cusp of the playoff. I wasn't sure if they'd get there or not. But they got in, so good for them. But certainly a disappointing performance on a big stage at the Ohio Stadium.
Yeah, and that's certainly the key word. And, you know, for Mari Thomas, he says the message to the guys that will be in the locker room next season is to continue to be coachable. You have to get guys in here that love the team, love the program, and want to continue to strengthen the culture. That's exactly what him and Cooper Mays have been doing, you know, their last four or so years on Rocky Top. And if they can find guys that can continue to do that, get more five stars in the program, then there won't be such a drop-off between Ohio State's roster and what Tennessee's looks like. But, of course, a great place for Tennessee to be. Of course, you want a different outcome or for it to be a more competitive loss than what it was tonight, but you can't disagree that it was a really phenomenal season and just really exciting for what's to come in the future of Tennessee football.
Well, and I think that Josh Heupel did change the culture when he got here.
Yeah.
And I think because he has such a strong culture and he's got a lot of good kids and a lot of people that want to wear the Tennessee uniform, I think that he will be able to, now I don't know if they get in the playoff next year, but what I do believe he will sustain this program. There will be a playoff caliber team or a team that's knocking on the door, I think, for the next several years. They've got the right quarterback in place. They've got other pieces in place. And as Joey Hosley and others have said, they've got to make sure they surround Nico with the right talent to make him successful, which I think they will do. So I think this program is in really good shape under Josh Heupel, and I expect them to be a very highly competitive team over the next few years.
Awesome. Well, that does it here for the 2024 football coverage with Paige Dower and Jimmy Himes on Full Disclosure. It's been such an enjoyable ride this first year here with Full Disclosure covering Tennessee football, do some pretty historic things this season. But we will be back with much more coming up with Tennessee men's and women's basketball conference play just around the corner. So definitely stay tuned. We've got a lot more great content coming down the pike for Full Disclosure. We'll talk to you guys later this week.
We have an exceptional group of attorneys that work here. We're all trying to be better attorneys, be better advocates for our clients, be better people.
That makes me proud to be part of the team when I see how much the attorneys care about their clients.
It's truly one vision. I feel like every single person who works here has that same vision, and that's to treat all of our clients like family.
We've developed such a tight-knit team. Everyone is unified in being selfless in their representation.
The Garza Law Firm. Let us help.
Ogle Brothers General Store in Sevierville is the best place to shop in the Smokies. They offer clothing, food, candy, toys, locally made arts and crafts, souvenirs, and more. The goal is to pay tribute to the rich history of farm life in East Tennessee and Southern Appalachia. Visit them at 1640 Parkway or call 865-366-1485. Salon Visage has been voted Knoxville's best salon for more than 20 years and one of the top 25 salons in America. Salon Visage offers elite, innovative, and specialized services by highly trained colorists and hairstylists. Salon Visage is located at 1701 Downtown West Boulevard. The Visage Group also has two barbershops, one at Downtown West and one at 304 South North Shore Drive.